Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast, coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Later in this show, we will be joined by Purdue head coach Matt Painter, whose team is coming off a win over NJIT, as well as a victory in the Cancun Challenge last week. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in the show. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And Movement Watches was founded on the belief that style shouldn't break the bank. The Movement Watchmaker's goal is to change the way consumers think about fashion by offering high-quality minimalist products at revolutionary prices. Movement Watches has solidified itself as the world's fastest growing watch company. As you're checking off your Christmas list, here's something to think about. What makes a Movement Watch the perfect gift? Well, they have his and her styles. One size fits all. With Movement's versatile design, it's the gift they can wear with casual and formal wear. And it's the perfect price, with Movement Watches starting at just $95. There has been over 500,000 watches sold in over 160 countries. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to movementwatches.com/hoops. That's movementwatches.com/hoops. MVMT. This watch has been a really clean design. Seriously, I've been getting compliments ever since I put it on. Now is the time to step up your watch game. Go to MVMTwatches.com/hoops. That's MVMTwatches.com/hoops. Join the movement. And now that we've got you set for everything you need regarding your watch game moving forward, let's take a look at some of the topics that are on my mind after another terrific weekend in college basketball. I'm going to start right now with what the Big East has done as a whole out of the gate. And I really think right now that the Big East, thanks to the early success of Villanova, Xavier, Butler, and of course Creighton, has a chance to be the second best league in the country this season behind the ACC. Those four schools that I just mentioned all have already won preseason tournaments. And the question is, can others in the Big East follow? I was impressed with what I saw from Providence in the Emerald Coast Classic, even though the Friars fell to Virginia. Can Georgetown get its act together? And will Seton Hall and Marquette start to turn a corner? Regardless, because of the four teams that I mentioned, Villanova, Xavier, Butler, and Creighton, teams that I ranked in the top 20 this week of my top 25, I think the Big East, when you take into account the departures that we've seen at the top of the Big 12 at Oklahoma, Texas, and Iowa State, and the uncertainty surrounding certain teams in the Big 10, I think the Big East has a chance to be the second best league in college basketball this year. Now, what about the SEC? The question really throughout the offseason was, who could join Kentucky? Who would be able to move the needle? Well, a couple of teams showed some promise. But the team that really moved the needle for the SEC this past week was South Carolina. Frank Martin's squad had back-to-back wins over Michigan and Syracuse in convincing fashion. Both of those teams were ranked last week, and what South Carolina did was it elevated the entire brand of the conference. I was impressed with Florida from what I saw in Orlando over the weekend, and I was really impressed, honestly, with Texas A&M coming back to beat Virginia Tech at the Wooden Legacy and Texas A&M playing well against UCLA Sunday night. But it all goes back to South Carolina. Which program has the best resume right now in the SEC? It's not Kentucky. It's not anybody else. It's the South Carolina Gamecocks, who won a pseudo-road game Saturday at the Barclays Center against Syracuse. And the third thing that's really been on my mind since watching a bunch of hoops over the weekend, names change, but Virginia's efficiency does not on both sides of the floor. Virginia right now in its first six games has given up less than 52 points every time time they've played. 52 or less, I should say, every time they've played. And what about the balance on offense? Tony Bennett's squad has seven different players averaging between 7 and 10 points per game. A lot of people, including myself, wondered how Virginia would respond after losing Austin Nichols. But the early indications are it's going to be business as usual in Charlottesville. Again, Virginia has not allowed more than 52 points in the 6 games it's played this season. We've talked about Virginia playing Ohio State this week in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Another Big Ten head coach has a big week. Purdue will travel to the KFC Yum Center to take on Rick Pitino in Louisville. And head coach of the Boilermakers is Matt Painter. He joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Purdue will be a part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge later this week at the KFC Yum Center against Louisville. The Boilermakers won the Cancun Challenge last week by beating Auburn in the title game. They are 5-1 so far this season, and the head coach of Purdue is Matt Painter. He joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And, Coach, what did you learn after the trip to Cancun about your team that maybe you didn't know prior?
Well, I think it was a good feeling for our guys to shoot well. I think we hadn't shot the ball extremely well, and we have guys that can really shoot. I always, harp on, the ability to take good shots and take shots within the flow. I think sometimes that's difficult for coaches to get figured out early in the season. You get a lot of guys that, put in time and they work on their game and, they want to make improvements in that area. So they think more shots, more production, when in reality, most guys just need to be better at what they do. And it was good to see it all kind of pieced together. And I think we were 17 for 26 in that game from three. And we've shot the ball better away from home than we have at home so far. And I don't think that's a bad thing, because I think eventually your shooting percentages at home, kind of level off, and you get to that percentage which you are as a team. But I think it's a good sign to be away on a couple of neutral games and be able to shoot the ball well. So I think that was kind of first and foremost. And we still have the propensity to turn the basketball over, and we have to do a better job, especially our big guys. We get the ball inside a lot, and with that becomes a responsibility. And at times we're over dribbling, and sometimes we're not passing and trying to step through double teams and just not making the right play at times. Other times we are. And it's not like we've done a bad job at doing it. We've just been very careless at times. And, having 21 turnovers against Auburn, you go into the game and you think, Auburn's going to have a great chance to win. And but you shoot in the mid-70s in the second half, and it makes up for a lot of mistakes when you shoot the ball that well. So it was something with our guys really talking to them and like saying, hey, you have to see the negative here, and you also have to see the positive, because you have to be able to beat good teams when you don't shoot well. And it's something that we've talked about with our team. And you can't look at it and say, hey, we're going to shoot 75% from the field all the time, so those turnovers don't matter, because obviously they do. So I think it was good for our team offensively to really shoot the ball well. I think it was kind of a relief because some guys had struggled, and Matthias had a good game. Vince Edwards had a good second half. And Auburn, Swanigan obviously was the MVP. Isaac Haas had a really good game against Utah State. So that was a positive. But the turnovers, we got to do a better job of taking care of the basketball.
Well, you mentioned the propensity that your team has for turning the ball over. That was a big part of your NCAA tournament loss last year to Arkansas Little Rock. How much with this group have you brought up that game as a reminder?
Yeah, well, that's different. We're averaging about 9 turnovers on our front line right now. Our guys have done a really good job of handling the press. We face West Virginia. We face Villanova. Almost every team we've played so far, Auburn presses to a degree. Some other people have zone pressed us. And so we've seen a lot of pressing teams, a lot of matchup zones, a lot of different looks early in the season. So that really hasn't been the case. PJ Thompson's done a good job and been solid. So has Spike Albrecht. Our guards really haven't, turned the ball over as much. But when they do, to go on top of the big guys, that's where, it gets a little sticky for us. So it's sometimes when you look at the totality of it, you're like, yeah, you turned the ball over in that game and you turned the ball over now. 4 years ago, we were the number one team in the country in fewest turnovers. The total change of our, kind of the landscape of our personnel with so much size, then you have to be able to adjust to it. You got to be able to be, you know, to handle it. Well, we struggled with our personnel last year against the press. This year we have not. We've done really well against it. But then, you know, it's been more in the half court. So for us, it's just, you know, continue to work on. It's easy to talk about it, but you got to work on the particular things that are bothering you. And just keep drilling on it and being simple. If we're fundamentally sound and we do what we're supposed to, good things are going to happen. Just because we can get deep position, I think that's going to be important for us to continue to work to get that deep position. And then I think we'll really do a better job in the half court of taking care of it.
Well, you mentioned, you know, having the ability to handle pressure, and that's something you're going to have to do when you play Louisville later this week. You scrimmage West Virginia, so you got a taste of pressure against, you know, West Virginia in a scrimmage. But I'm curious, in studying Louisville for the game this week, how is the right. pressure that they bring different from the pressure that West Virginia does?
Yeah, I would, you know, obviously they throw a couple different looks at you. Both of them do in their press, and I thought our guys did a good job outside of three or four possessions against West Virginia. And Louisville won't throw as many looks at you. They'll definitely run at the ball at times. They'll zone press you. They'll man-to-man, and you can clear. I would say where Louisville is different, maybe than anybody I've seen so far, is just their ability to swarm the basketball in different situations, especially in the half court. When you drive, you just don't take on the guy you're driving against. You take on another seven-footer. So it's a 6'10 guy and a seven-footer. You know, three guys get to the ball pretty quick. If you can't make the next play against Louisville, you know, you better be really good. You better be really good because they're so long and athletic. They make you make that next play, but yet you feel like, you know, hey, I got an angle on my guy. Then all of a sudden your shot's blocked and they're going to the other end and Donovan Mitchell's dunking it. So, you got to swallow your pride a little bit. When you get angles and you get positions and you get post-ups, that's different. But when you're driving the basketball and you draw the crowd, you better be able to make that next play. Because if you can't, then you got to dunk it yourself and go right through it. I'm just impressed with their length, their athleticism, but also their depth. They can keep bringing in guys that can alter things on the defensive end with their length and their change. And they go to their 2-3 kind of matchup zone that morphs into a man-to-man, can also change back if they want it to within the possession. So you got to be able to play basketball. You can't be a standstill group. If you're a standstill group and you don't have good movement and good ball movement and body movement, you know, they do a great job of pushing off, you know, switching and understanding what they're trying to get accomplished against each team.
Purdue head coach Matt Painter joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Boilermakers 5-1 on the season. They will travel to the KFC Yum Center to take on Louisville. You know, Matt, you've brought up the fact that this club is pretty special offensively. You're averaging 85 points a game. Where would you rank with what you've seen so far this team compared to the best offensive teams that you've had at Purdue?
I think the time will tell to be able to compare it. When we play people like Louisville, when you play Notre Dame, when you play a Big Ten schedule, I said, because I think the people that I mentioned bring out different problems. Like so far, like we've had some different looks from different people. We faced a matchup zone against Georgia State that was pretty good, but we missed open shots. We missed layups. And so it was like one of those games where we got behind and, you know, we just had to get some momentum to get there. So it's hard to really rank them. I like our ability to shoot the basketball. I like our ability to post. I think Swanigan's done a much better job of letting things come to him. And for him, it's been kind of proven here that less is more. You know, he had 23 points on 6 shots the other night. It's pretty impressive. But he's just playing so hard. And he's getting offensive rebounds. And he's given us that spark in terms of other things, not just scoring. He's rebounding. He's passing. You know, he's talking. And, you know, Isaac is a very unique guy. You know, it's hard to understand until you actually go against him, you know, how big he is. He still has to be physical without fouling. He still has a couple moments on the court where, you know, he gets caught up where he wants to ref instead of playing. He gets fouled probably more than anybody that doesn't get called. So trying to really monitor his frustration, getting him to play through some of that frustration because – you know, you can send in film all you want of people hooking him and grabbing him and pulling him down and doing stuff. But during the course of a game, you still got to play the game. And afterwards, you know, you can say, hey, this isn't fair. That isn't fair. Hey, that's the way it is. If they're going to call it, great. If they're not, you still got to be productive. So we have a couple unique guys in those two people. We have a big small forward in Vince Edwards. It's very, very versatile. And then when you sprinkle in, you know, Spike, PJ, Ryan Klein, Dakota Mathias, guys that can really, really shoot the basketball, that gives us, when we're shooting the basketball well, it really puts people in a bind, whether they're man or zone, against us. So I think we got a chance to be one of the better teams, if not the best team. But I also don't want to be premature in my talks, considering, you know, we've played six games and we barely started the season.
Well, you know, it's interesting, though. We're talking to the head coach of Purdue right now, and we're talking about offense. It almost feels like an oxymoron. For somebody who really has taken over a program that was built on defense and built on toughness, right, even though that you have great offense, how concerned are you about the side of the floor that's really made Purdue what it is under both Gene Katie and yourself?
Right. Well, in recruiting, when we show people the numbers, like we had about 4 years ago, we had a 5 year span where we never led the Big Ten in scoring, but yet we had the most points in that 5 years. They curl their eyebrows at you a little bit and look at you and you say, hey, you know what? We've won through the years. We've won the most Big Ten championships. They still look at you funny. You know, we've had a lot of success here through the years in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. You know, Coach Katie, you know, really had a great run, but they were good offensively when they had their guys. Like if you look at the late 80s with Troy Lewis, Everett Stevens, you know, Todd Mitchell, Mel McCants, that group. And you look at, you know, Big Dog's years, then he left. They won two Big Ten titles after Big Dog left in the mid 90s. So they had a guard named Willie Dean, you know, his first team all league that really could go with the basketball. So when he's had certain guys, you know, they scored with Coach King. But when they haven't and their talent was equal, a little bit less, you know, he lengthened those possessions. Like a lot of people in our league will do at times. And anytime you have equal kind of talent, you can't get more possessions. You got to get fewer possessions and you got to be tougher on defense. So he learned to win a couple different ways. I think that was, a lot of times Coach Katie doesn't get that credit. Like, you know, you got to be patient on the road. No matter who you are, you got to be a little bit more patient on the road. And that was something he always drilled in us as players. And at first, as a player, you think that's crazy. But if you shoot quick on the road, you know, you better be wide open. You better be at the rim. And so that's going to be, you know, a really important thing for people if they want to win and be able to do. Now, if you have more talent, that's different. So I think for us, and like in recruiting and kind of selling that, you're always going to have that stamp, and I think that's a good thing. When someone kind of looks at you funny because you're blue collar and you have some toughness to it, and you know, maybe they're not the right fit for you, because those kind of qualities don't only help you in college; those qualities help you in life. They help you become a good pro. And I think when you can have that balance, academics, basketball, toughness, blue collar, it's a recipe for success. We still try to hang our hat on defense, but we averaged 79 points last year offensively, and we had big people. So it's sometimes people equate athleticism and speed with scoring a lot. And then when you show people the numbers, you know, I never look at these numbers really besides our own until we get into recruiting battles with people, and they say, well, you guys don't score the ball. You don't push the basketball. You don't do this. I said, well, here are the numbers. Here's what's happened the past 11 years. And here's the numbers from the people that are recruiting you. And then they start to compare it, and they start to see that people talk in tongues. And we're going to lead the country in scoring or anything, don't get me wrong. But we do score the basketball. And that's something for us, especially this team, that when we can take care of it, we can score it. It really helps us because we can set our defense, and now people stay out of transition.
In addition to what you mentioned about being more patient on the road, what are the biggest things that you've taken from Coach Katie that you've passed along to your own teams?
I think that's, you know, being patient on the road without being methodical. I think anybody can hold the basketball and then get a shot at the end of the, shot clock. But, you know, I talk about, you know, being patiently aggressive. You know, can you attack and take an early one that's really good? Or are you undisciplined and you're just going to take a bad one, really? You know, what's your identity? You know, your best players kind of got to set that identity, and they get a little bit more freedom, you know, because they got a little bit more game to them. But you can't use that freedom to hurt your team. And at times, good players do that. And at times, good players really hurt their team because they don't have that discipline. They use that as a free-for-all. And I think we're really growing in that area where we have some guys that are better. Like Carson Edwards is a guy that really gives us a punch there. And but he has a little bit more freedom. You know, he can score off the dribble. He can shoot pull-ups, and I mean, he's a good player. But kind of back to, you know, Coach Katie talking about, you know, kind of just doing your job. And, you know, whatever your job is, take pride in doing your job and everything in your power, you know, to help your team win. And, you know, and playing that role and embracing that role. And because, you know, 10, 15 years, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. It only matters, you know, back and, you know, if you won and, you know, the relationships you have and, you know, things of that nature. So, you know, defense being stingy, getting guys to buy in to doing what's best for the team. And then that's a hard thing. I think it's harder now to coach guys than it was when he coached. It's a lot harder, in my opinion. But it's also, it's still simple. You know, you have to be, you know, firm and you have to be direct with guys. And, you know, it's what we're doing. And I think it starts in recruiting, just being honest about how you are in your program and, you know, what you expect and, you know, things of that nature. And you don't always like, you know, what your coach tells you, but you got to be able to respect it, you know, especially from a guy like Coach Katie. You know, he always told you the truth, like what you heard. So I've always tried to kind of take that philosophy and be fair with guys. It's not always going to be, it's like raising kids. It's not always the same. You're like, well, you know, when she was 9 years old, she got this. And well, you know, you're 9 years later, things have changed. You know, it's just like, but kids are always going to play that game, and then players will play that game. You know, what he gets, if I got the freedom that he gets, I'd be able to do this or do that or do whatever. And, you know, you don't make as many shots and you're not as good as he is. And that's a hard thing to say to a kid. And you don't say, hey, let's get in the gym and work. Let's get to that point. You think you're at that point. You're not quite there yet. But let's work to get to that point instead of complain. There's so many voices that are going on around each individual player. I think that's been well documented. It's just to be direct with guys and be straight with them. And that's a lot of things that, you know, that Coach Katie, I think you see that in our program with a lot of his former players, a lot of our former players in the past 11 years, a lot of them come back. We have a lot of reunions, you know, guys come back. Cause I think as time goes on, you know, they appreciate that.
You know, you had the unique experience of both playing and working for Coach Katie. How did both of those differ?
Well, one wasn't a good situation because I was only his assistant for 1 year. We won. So, you know, being around Coach Katie and losing a lot is not fun. That was the difference. You know, anytime you played for him, you know, you're trying to do everything in your power, like I said, to win. And that's what it comes down to. I think when you have a really, really good program, you know, it's miserable when you lose. And it's terrible. It kind of has to be put on those terms. But if it means a lot to you, that's the way you feel. And if you got the right players in those locker rooms, sometimes those losses can really help you grow as a team. You don't want to have too many of them, but you get that loss. And then a lot of times losses can, you know, can kind of, you know, knock out some of the tough times that you're having, or some guys are struggling or whatever. You can come together. And, you know, he was always able to do that, able to rally guys and be able to get them to stick together and play hard and understand that. But no, it was great playing for him. I wish I could have been an assistant for him longer, but, obviously that 1 year you try and enjoy things, but when you're losing in that particular year, it wasn't a good time. I felt bad for him because I felt like, you know, he deserved to go out on a better note.
Purdue head coach Matt Painter joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Boilermakers 5-1 on the season. We'll travel to Louisville this week at the KFC Yum Center as part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. You know, Matt, you had a really special nucleus of players a couple of years ago. Etwan Moore, Robbie Hummel, Juwan Johnson. And in 2009, that team went to the Sweet 16, lost to UConn. And the next couple of years, there were so many injuries surrounding that nucleus, you guys never really had a chance to go for it again as the same group. Do you look back on that and feel like it was a little bit of a missed opportunity because of Murphy's Law?
Yeah, but it's also part of, it's part of competition. And I always say this, like when we beat somebody and they got somebody out, I don't take the win like, we wouldn't have got this win if that guy was healthy. You know, you don't look at it when you're the opposition. You know, you move on, and you know, foul trouble is part of a game, injuries, and it's very unfortunate what happened. I feel bad for him, you know, because you know you get something taken away from you a little bit in terms of having injuries and then having that knock. You know, people like, you know, well, stay healthy. Can he not stay healthy? That's not fair to him because a lot of times you get put into a box that you put yourself into. Now he's in a box that he can't control. And, you know, he's torn his ACL twice. He's had back problems. He's been overseas. He's played in the NBA, labrum. Now he's back overseas. You know, he still makes a good penny, but he still has some what ifs. So I feel bad for him, even though he's going to be perfectly fine. He's going to continue to be a great pro, and he's going to have a great career probably in broadcasting after he's done. But, you know, our team was still a pretty good team, and we didn't make excuses, and we kept playing. But we're not the only team it happens to. It happens to a lot of teams across the country that, you know, has a crack at it. And, you know, we want to use it as motivation and still try to build up and have kind of special teams like that, that it's going to have another chance and hopefully be able to get back. But you do feel bad for the individual guys, especially him. Like Juwan Johnson was unbelievable. I mean, he was just kept his mouth shut and played and just got a lot of things done for us and kept improving, kept getting better. And Etuan Moore was a guy that came and he didn't get credit for how he improved defensively, but it's a real kept him in the league. He obviously has got a really good contract now, but he can guard a couple different spots. He can play a couple different spots, but he really worked to be a really good college defender. And coming from a guy who scores the basketball, that was huge. So, you know, just happy for those three guys. But, you know, when basketball's done, they're all three going to be successful in whatever they do. They were unbelievable for our program and, you know, unbelievable for me.
No, I mean, they're going to be successful, but, you know, the window is so small sometimes for certain programs to break through. I remember Coach Katie had that team in 94 with Glenn Robinson. They ran up against Duke in an Elite Eight, and then they lost to Wisconsin in the Elite Eight in 2006 years later. How much do you personally think about going on a run and doing what your mentor wasn't able to do, getting Purdue to a Final Four?
Yeah, you think about it a lot. You think about it like a lot in recruiting when you're trying to build a team. While you're in the process of doing it in terms of playing, like right now, you're just trying to improve your guys in for that next game and make sure they're in a good state of mind. So I think that's an important part of coaching, just to make sure your guys understand the big picture and what we're trying to accomplish. But there's no doubt you think about it. You run through your schedule. But, you know, it's a process. You've got to get good non-conference wins to get yourself ready to, you know, to compete for your, you know, the conference championship once you get into Big Ten play. And then after that, you know, you still have to get in there. And so it's such a fight to get in there. Now, once you do, there's a lot of different things that go in. You got to shoot the ball well. You got to play well. You got to get a matchup. And that's what's really unfortunate for us. And it leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth. Here is that we put ourselves in position to win 2 years in a row. And, you know, missed a free throw here and there, turned the basketball over, you know, had a break, you know, makes a tough shot. We had a lot of things go wrong, but we also did a lot of good things to put ourselves in those positions. And you can't lose, you know, you can't lose that piece. You still have to do that. You still have to get yourself in position to win. And we've been able to do that. We just haven't been able to close the door in a couple games, or tight games. And that's hopefully we can use that as motivation, but we got to get back there. And you have, don't ever take that for granted. I think that's an important thing to pass on to your team. Don't ever say, hey, when we get back in the tournament, no. You know, you got to earn your way back in there. And don't take things for granted because somebody's ranked you or somebody's saying positive things or somebody's projecting you're a 3 seed right now, whatever it might be. You know, that does not matter. What matters is, you know, getting a little bit of a luck. You know, you got to stay healthy, but also sticking together and just everybody working on doing their job.
Well, what has to happen for this team to break through and get to a Final Four? What are the keys?
Well, I think getting that defensive identity. I think that's going to be important for this team. Obviously, you know, you can sit around and talk about making shots and, you know, the ball goes in sometimes and the ball doesn't. And I know that's a statement, but we've all seen that on a neutral court, you know, in the NCAA. You have to be able to defend. You know, you're going against somebody who's going to be very, very good or they wouldn't be in there. You got to be able to defend. You got to be able to rebound, be able to do it. But I think for this team, just sticking together, understanding who we are, making sure people, you know, will honor us on the interior. If they're going to take that away, then I think our shooting gets more into play. And I think we got really good shooters, but also given those guys, given Swanigan, given Haas, Vince Edwards, you know, kind of that right of first refusal. Sometimes we get away from that a little bit. And it happens because when you have other guys that can shoot the basketball, it does happen. But we have to understand that at times people don't have an answer to that. Sometimes people answer it by just loading it up and doubling them up and tripling them up, and they got to pass the basketball. But when people don't have an answer for that and they're not going to do those things, then they should get that basketball. And so I think understanding who we are offensively, that doesn't diminish anybody else on our team. Doesn't mean people, we got to be able to play off of those guys. But getting the defensive identity, that's so important, because when things don't go your way offensively, you still have the ability to grind it out. And that's sometimes what the NCAA tournament's about, being able to grind it out and win a possession game and being able to, you know, advance. And so I think those things are going to be really important for us.
Well, Matt, enjoyed it. Good luck against Louisville. We'll be in touch as always. Congrats on a good start. Hope you can keep it going. Appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
I'd like to thank Purdue head coach Matt Painter for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to tell you the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Indochino. A couple of weeks back, I had the chance to visit the Indochino store here in New York for a custom fitting, and I have to tell you, it was a truly great experience. Indochino is one of the largest made-to-measure menswear brands. They are making it easy for men to get great fitting, high-quality suits and shirts at an incredible price. Visit Indochino.com or do what I did and drop by one of their 9 North American showrooms. You get the from an assortment of fabrics and patterns, choose all your customizations, and submit your measurements. In 4 weeks, you'll have the most stylish suit you've ever worn. This week, my listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $389 at Indochino.com when entering Hoops at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Plus, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code Hoops for any premium suit for just $389 and free shipping. Get ready to look like $1 million. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. Again, we are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm going to get to them right now at John Rothstein, John, J-O-N. Our first question is from Nathan Guess. And it's, John, what's your early impressions on Memphis? And Nathan, I think we've seen big jumps from certain guys on Memphis's roster, most notably Jeremiah Martin and Craig Randall. But I really want to see Tubby Smith play smaller. I thought Memphis looked really good in spurts this weekend when Dedrick Lawson was at the 5 and KJ Lawson was at the 4. Smaller is in, smaller is more skilled. I think that might be Memphis's best lineup. Our next question comes from JB, and it's, John, can Syracuse recover after a bad loss to South Carolina? And JB, look, Syracuse is going to have to recover, and they're going to have to recover fast, because Syracuse has a real difficult test coming up this week when they visit Wisconsin in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Now, I've talked to Jim Boeheim about that when I was up at Syracuse for preseason practice. A tough draw for the Orange, who again will go into the Kohl Center, one of the toughest places to win in the Big Ten. And our final question will be from Steve Kamara, and it's, John, can Providence make the NCAA tournament? I am not ready to say that, Steve, but I will say this. I was very encouraged from what I saw out of Providence at the Emerald Coast Classic. Now, they came back against Memphis. Memphis had a lead in that game, was in control. Ed Cooley changed up his defense and pulled the game into the mud. And Providence was in the game against Virginia. Providence, again, is going to have a tough game against Rhode Island. They're going to be a tough out in the Big East. I don't know if there's enough offense to have this team reach the NCAA tournament for the fourth consecutive season under Ed Cooley. Now that we've got your social media questions answered, let's get into some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one. Nothing meek about it. UNC's Kennedy Meeks is playing like a man possessed, averaging 13.7 points and 10.7 rebounds. Last year, Meeks averaged 9.2 points and 5.9 rebounds. So he's averaging right now nearly 5 rebounds more a game. That's saying something. Nugget number 2, home cooking. Oregon will not play a true road game until January 4th. I'm saying it here right now. These next 5 weeks will be a get-well period for Oregon, who did look better in their final game at the Maui Invitational. One of the reasons why Oregon struggled so much when Dylan Brooks came back, they weren't playing him at the same position where he excelled last year, the undersized 4. You saw against UConn in Maui, Dana Altman went back to that look in an effort to get better spacing on the floor. Now, if Dylan Brooks is playing the 4, somebody else is not going to be getting the minutes they desire. I think it's going to be Cavell Bigby-Williams, the JUCO transfer. Life on the road. We're going to find out how good Rhode Island is over the next couple of weeks. Dan Hurley's squad had that big win a couple of weeks ago against Cincinnati at Mohegan Sun, but 3 of the next 4 are on the road for the Rams: at Valpo, at Providence, and at Houston. All 3 of those games are very difficult. Nugget number 4, young and savvy. Maryland is 5-0 in games that are decided by 6 points or less. Mark Turgeon starting 3 freshmen, 3 true freshmen: Anthony Cowan, Kevin Herter, and Justin Jackson. And nugget number 5, Dixon being Dixon. TCU, under Jamie Dixon, is off to a 6-0 start. They won the Global Sports Classic last weekend in Las Vegas, scored 93 points in a win over Washington. I'm not saying that TCU is going to compete for an NCAA tournament berth, but because of Jamie Dixon's meticulousness, this team will be a tough out in the Big 12, especially when they play in Fort Worth. Time now for some games to look at this week.
Games to watch. Games to watch.
We already mentioned this one on Tuesday, but Wisconsin and Syracuse in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Another game in that event, Michigan State at Duke. I thought the Spartans played better against Wichita State in the battle for Atlantis, but obviously going to Cameron Indoor Stadium, a tall, tall task. And then Wednesday, we talked about this earlier with Matt Painter, Purdue at Louisville, Carolina going to Indiana in a game that should be a track meet from start to finish. And then Thursday night, Cincinnati goes to Hilton Coliseum in Ames, Iowa to take on Iowa State. The Bearcats need quality non-conference wins. Iowa State was one shot away from beating Gonzaga. That is a heck of a basketball game coming up Thursday night at Hilton Coliseum. We'd like to thank Purdue's head coach Matt Painter once again for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.